Welcome to Riverbend Talent on WBGZ, brought to you by The Halpin Music Company.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Riverbend Talent on WBGZ Radio. Tonight is January 7th, 2021, and we have a very special show to start off the new year. I'm your host, Jeff Bensman, and tonight's guests are Sean and Dennis, who are usually your hosts here on the show. Hi, guys. Say hello to everybody out there in Radio Land.
Hello. Welcome to 2021. Yeah. Let's hope it's better than 2020.
Why wouldn't it be?
Why wouldn't it be? Well, I don't know. Mr. Jeff Bensman, thanks for coming in and kicking us off for 2021 in a whole new fashion here.
That's right. I had an idea last couple of times I was in here. I thought, you know what, why don't we mix it up a little bit and see if we can't do something a little more fun. Not that it wasn't fun before, right?
Right, but switch it up.
Switch it up, that's right.
Because you've been in, we've had you in, I don't know, countless times over the past couple of years for probably your band, Lady Luck, Glendale Riders, Hill Williams, Channel 3 still going? No, maybe not.
Well, actually, no, that's true. We are still together.
Really?
Yeah, in it's one of its latest inversions of the members and everything, but it seems to always be in transitions, but it is what it is. But Thursday night's usually the night we're getting together to drum up some new ideas, but tonight, got to come here and talk to you guys.
Yeah, so you're gonna interview us, but
I am.
But what? We don't play in bands that play out. We play in bands, but we don't go out and play very often.
it's about Riverbend Talent, and you guys are obviously talented for doing what you do and bringing the talent into the radio to put it out there for the people to learn a little bit about that maybe they don't know already. Dennis, are you over there?
I think so. I'm on.
All right. Is this thing on?
Okay. Okay.
He's dealing with technical issues because 2021 is the new Y2K, apparently. We've got Dremlins in the studio.
That's breaking news right there.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Uh-oh.
Can you hear me?
I can. I can hear you great.
I can't hear very well.
I can hear you. Okay. Sean and Dennis, you guys got nicknames.
That's right.
Pigpen and Besh, right?
That would be correct.
Okay, what's up with the nicknames?
Well, I can tell you about mine, how mine got started.
Okay.
In radio, you switch names usually when you switch stations, which happens a lot in this business. And I had been working over at MS Communications, and I had been on Extreme Radio using the name Scrap. And then Scrap Metal Show Overnight, I don't know, whatever it was. But that was, I didn't go straight to that. That's right. Then I went to the 104.1 The Mall. It was 80s, so I changed my name to Spicoli from Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Nice.
And then after that, I ended up on the show called The Dave Glover Show, still going on over at 97.1, but it was a brand new show back then. And when I joined the show, Dave Glover said, what name do you want to go by? You know, you got to pick a name. And as an ode to the original frontman of the Grateful Dead, and maybe to Charles Schulz, I said, well, call me. I was hired as the producer of the show, not a actual cast member in the beginning.
Okay.
And I said, well, just call me Producer Pigpen when you talk to me. And that name stuck. And then whenever I started, I was out of radio for a few years, but when I started back, I do a show on Tuesday mornings on KDHX over in St. Louis, and I stuck with the same name because I liked it so much.
Yeah,
it works. Then when I came over here, I did the same. And, you know, now my mix 94.3 doing the mornings on there under Pigpen, so it's kind of hard to change it at this point.
Sure.
I actually asked them at my mix when they were talking to me about doing the show, or it wasn't even going to be a morning show in the beginning. It was just going to be I spun records for a few hours a week, I think, on weekends. But when they ended up putting me there, I said, well, do you want me to go under something other than Pigpen? Because, you know, I don't know. Some people might be, what the heck, Pigpen? No, they said, no, that's what we want you on as. So it stuck.
If it's catchy and you know, nobody's objecting to it, why not?
Yeah, and that was in the 2000s, though, when I adopted the name Pigpen. I've been calling Mr. Dennis Laird over there Bash since I think the day I met him, and that had to be 90, 91. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, and that's where your story goes awry, because I was calling you Scrap then, and you were not over at station.
That's
you
right.
said
WLCA.
Now we're getting back down to the truth. Seek truth.
The name Scrap, I did take it to Emmis me, but it followed me from
you
high school.
You had it before college,
It followed me from my freshman year of high school and still follows me.
He had a Scrappy Doo tattoo.
I still do.
He covered it up, though.
Sometimes they wash off, but not in this
case. You didn't cover
that
one up?
No, I did not.
Oh, yeah, that was a jail tattoo you covered up. Right?
It was a tattoo that my wife was tired of explaining to people.
Oh, yeah, the Waco tattoo. Yeah. But didn't you get that in jail, or did somebody, right out of jail give it to you? Because it looked like one of those homemade,
It was very much a homemade tattoo, and the guy who gave it to me has probably been in jail a bunch, but I don't really know the guy just by guessing.
Indian ink tattoos.
My very first one, a friend of mine, Larry Heinemeyer, gave me when I was 15 with a stick needle and ink in my friend Scott Robertson's basement. We were all about 14, 15. But that one, the Waco one,
probably
he's talking
great,
about.
Didn't it?
Oh, yeah. One stick. Two sticks. Yeah, takes a long time to spread ink that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he has no control over how deep he goes, like a gun. Every now and then he's like, ah! But the one you're talking about, the guy who gave it to me, I can remember I was at a party. I was in a band called Massa Christ at the time.
I was going to bring that up. You know I would.
We had...
it was supposed to be Masochist, but they didn't understand how to read at that time.
I still don't know how to read. You think you're so smart because you can read.
They were looking through the dictionary, the old story, right?
That is our drummer was looking through the dictionary and goes, I got the greatest name. We're going to be called Massa Christ.
Yeah, I blame him too. I mean, that's a good idea. I never thought of that. You went with it, though. It must mean something awesome.
I had no idea, but he had a cool little logo for it and everything.
He'd eventually robbed my house, but we won't get into that.
Yeah,
we'll move on.
Years
okay,
after.
Let's move on, yeah. Okay, anyway. So you were talking about your past experiences with some of the other stations that got you to the name Pigpen.
Yeah.
And Dennis, I think you told me earlier that you started out your radio career going to Lewis and Clark College right here in the Riverbend area, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much the end of the story.
Beginning and end.
Well, you know, I went there and then I came here and couldn't get a job. Just was a guy that hung around and was untalented and they could pay me minimum wage to do all the jobs no one else would do, and I'd show up at any time, anywhere, didn't care.
I think that's most radio.
You know what? There's a lot of people out there they find their niche.
Yeah,
first place of employment, and that's maybe that's what you've done with your career search started and ended at one place.
Almost 25 years to get airtime. So, I mean, you know, I wasn't very talented.
You got to push a broom. You got to work your way up the company ladder.
No talent here.
My first memory of radio, period, well, I mean, other than listening to it, obviously, it was going to Lewis and Clark. And when at that time, a guy named Mike Dree.
Wait, did you go through the radio program there as well?
At the same time, Dennis was running the station whenever I was a DJ out there. He was sort of the student PD that was our student manager of the station. That's how we met.
Music director, I guess, is what they
called
it.
Music director was the title.
Program director.
Program director.
Yeah, the PD. Yeah. There you go.
There was more than just music, I guess.
Yeah, he was the PD of that station whenever I was going through the course. But when I signed up, Mike Dree was sort of running the program for the radio out there, and he said your first radio class had to be his class, your first class ever. You before you even went to your second class that day, you had to take his. And he started off with a speech that I absolutely loved, where he looked at all these bright-eyed, eager kids fresh out of high school that think they're going to be radio stars, and said, if you're not willing to work all hours, if you're not willing to move to different cities, if you're not willing to empty ashtrays and push brooms, if you're not willing to, empty garbage cans, go home, period. You'll be lucky if you get to do agriculture reports a couple years down the road.
Yeah. Another friend of mine went to Broadcast Center.
Oh, yeah. Great place.
And he said it was the same thing when he got done with the school there, that he was going to have to move to Corn County and do the ag report and all that. So I understand exactly what you're talking about, because this isn't the first time I've heard that story.
Yeah.
My radio experience is pretty minimal other than turning it on and listening to it from the other side of the speaker. But you guys have certainly helped me break the ice, and here I am. I hit the big time tonight.
Yeah, you're hosting the show, bro. You're running the helm, bro.
Yeah. So you probably know this since you're running things, but it's time to talk about what's going on tonight around the River Bend. We have to mention the Sea Shanty Sing-Along because, you know, it's already underway.
And we should also mention,
right,
Halpin Music and Matt Van Voorhis from Macias Insurance. They are our sponsors. I don't know if we hit them at the top
right
of the show.
I know those
not
sponsors. I'm glad to have them sponsoring my program tonight. Please, so yes, thankful.
Please repeat their name several times. That's
Halpin and Matt. Matt and Halpin.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking about changing Matt's name to like Matt Stubblefield. Right?
Matt Stubblefield.
Or how about Matt V? Just something that's a little few less syllables.
Well, if you say Matt from Stubblefield, they know who you're talking about.
Well, they think you're talking about Matt Tall sometimes. Yeah. But see, they were always Matt T and Matt V to keep them separate.
And then you can't tell a T from a V on the phone sometimes, so.
Both of them are just cute as can be.
Well, you have to say T is tall and V is in Van Voorhis.
Very.
You know, so then you're just wasting your time.
He's very much.
Well, you know what some people say. Did you just say Van Morrison?
Heck yeah, I said Van Morrison.
Yeah.
Into the mystic.
So yeah, we need to work on his marketing.
Okay.
New name for him, like a good nickname, like Pig Bash.
Pig Bash.
How about that?
Pig Bash.
Put our names together. Right?
There you go. That's a great idea.
You'll get Pig a lot Bash more Insurance.
More listeners.
If you hit a pig, they got you covered.
If you bash a pig, we'll pay for it.
So, physically abused. I mean, hit with your car. They cross the road.
Either way. I don't care if you like smacking them. And I get in fist fights with pigs at least once a week. That's not true.
I don't arm animals, no.
So the Sea Shanties is going on right over the hill at Morrison's Irish Pub. It's where everybody gets drunk, mainly on Irish whiskey. They have some musicians playing music, and the whole crowd sings. You ever been down to the Sea Shanties?
I have. Yes.
Yes. There you go. Think about it.
I don't know. I was really drunk at the time.
All right. The whole bar gets drunk and sings together. It's an Irish and Scottish tradition. They do it in Scotland also. But yeah, Irish pubs, they all sing the same song. So that's going on over the hill at Morrison's Irish Pub. What else is happening tonight, Mr. Dennis?
Cross the Line at Fast Eddie's.
Ooh, the Bon Air.
They got the free karaoke contest at Hiram's Bar. They didn't offer anything this time. They said it was free. So.
They had big prizes last time. Like, you got a free meal and a shot
and
a
they
beer.
Did that for a few weeks, but... You know, these bars are struggling out there.
Yeah, I got some bad news about one of them today.
So, I mean, you know, maybe they got to hold back on the free stuff, but they're getting the karaoke free.
Yeah.
It's not like you got to sign up for the contest.
They're paying for the electricity.
Yeah.
Speaking of bad news on the bar front, I just heard today that Shea Maryland might be closing its doors, which is sad to hear that one. They've been around for a long time, but the bar's been sitting down there with no bands for months and nobody coming through the door. So,
actually, they've been having shows, at least announcing them.
I don't think they've actually had any. Mike Coleman told me today that they have not had a band down there for a long time, and the place has been sitting empty.
They don't put that on their site.
It's been slowly fading away, unfortunately. I hate to see it go because it has been a great venue for getting bands in, local bands. And
you never knew exactly what you'd see down there. You could go down there and see Hill Williams playing country. You could see
old country.
Big George Brock, you know, laying down some soul and funk.
Right, or a couple of people playing acoustic instruments doing Americana.
Yeah.
And that was the best thing about it because it wasn't commercial music. Now, you know, commercial music has its place, so it doesn't mean that it's necessarily a bad thing that it's commercial. But the thing is, you got variety down there that you wouldn't find anywhere else.
Yeah.
And now, if Maryland is gone, we're not going to have that unless somebody else wants to carry on the tradition and pick up where she leaves off.
Well,
I sure hope that's the case.
I hope that's the case too. And if the hair salon stays open in the back, who knows? There might be a revitalization of Shea Maryland once. You can stay open and have bands and packed houses without. She's got strikes against her,
and that is the biggest one that's against her as well as any other venue out there. I hear people are doing the virtual concerts that they're streaming online, and it's not the same. It's just not the same.
I wish I had a different opinion, but the vibration of live music is different than the vibration of music coming out of a one speaker. When the whole thing is compressed down to one speaker, I mean, I love to listen to the radio. I've been listening to albums since I was a kid. Love it. But the vibration of live music is a little... It tingles you.
Well,
it makes you want to get up and dance.
If you can see somebody creating something right there in front of you, then it's so much... There's just a realist to it that just doesn't happen otherwise.
That has been like all the talk I've heard about 2020, and oh, it's been a messed up year, and it has been. You know, lots of people got sick, lots of people died, but to me personally, not seeing live music and weird trips to the store, that was the big difference to me. You know,
yeah,
missing live music was the big downfall of the year for me.
Yeah, I didn't change and still really haven't changed my lifestyle other than the fact that my access to certain things has been limited. And I hope that eases up, because if it doesn't, our ways of the past are going to be just that. They're going to be in the past.
Yeah.
And so what's going to be the alternative? To sit in your own little home utopia and have stuff piped to you that is... what somebody's going to be allowing you to get.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyway, I don't want to get on
the... Well, you know, here's the thing about that sort of idealism. Okay. The idea that we're all sort of being pushed into our homes and not allowed to go out. It's kind of like the idea of the electric car and we won't be able to drive. There's always going to be rogue people. There's always going to be speakeasies, underground clubs. There's always going to be that one guy who's not going to give up his car even when all the other cars are driving by themselves. He don't care. Take me to jail, you know. Some people, I would be that guy.
I don't think it's at a car level at this point. Well, it's a license level. Well, I don't have a license and I don't care. I'm going to drive anyway.
I'm talking about the future, like where they say cars will be driven by themselves. The computer will drive the car. And
they used to say we'd have flying cars by 2021. So don't listen to anything they say.
Exactly.
If you start right there, you're good.
Where is my jetpack? I was promised a jetpack. I don't know.
It's on the Jetsons.
Right. Yeah. But no, I think even if they keep trying to, even if more places are shutting down, there's always going to be people who don't. They need to get out and be around other people and dance and sing and laugh. And so...
That interaction is what you miss in a case like that. So
in our society, ritualistic things like that are missing. Most societies do things like that. You know, you see these Japanese people getting out and dance, all dressed together and dancing. That's a ritual to them. It's like going to church or going to a concert or, you know, getting high, whatever it is you do that is your ritual that makes you feel good.
Right.
Are all those things combined? Yeah. I like to go to church, watch music while I'm really high. It doesn't matter.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. But anyway, so let's get back to you two. So, okay, so you've spent your whole life, not just your whole career, but your whole life here, Dennis. And Pigpen, you bounced around from other stations and you left the rest behind and now you're at the Best.
Thank you, sir.
Are any of those other stations even in existence anymore? Or did you shut them down?
I was hired on at Casey right out of college, and I think Casey's probably going to be around for a few years.
Never heard of them.
Never heard of them, guys. They've got a pig too.
Yeah. Oh, do they? I know what station you're talking about. That's the one that I always go to when I want to hear commercials.
So, 97.1. I was on there for 6 years with the Dave Glover Show. I believe they are still around. I haven't tuned it in for a minute, but I'm sure they still are. But most of the other stations. WLCA still out there?
Right. Yeah, I do. I listen to them from time to time as well.
I think the other stations that I was allowed to be on are all long gone.
Is it okay to, well, you mentioned Casey and WLCA, because I listen to KDHX talk about a variety of music, like compared to what you might hear down at Maryland's, as an example. So I go to them for music. I don't hear a whole lot of commercials, so it makes it easy to listen to there by comparison.
Yeah, it is a commercial-free, it's not public radio, it's community radio.
Right.
So.
And they still have interruptions. It's not like it's nonstop music.
Interrupted three times an hour. At about 20 after, there's a 30-second spot, about 40 after a 30-second spot, and then about a 2 or 3 minute top of the hour, they'll give a movie review or something like that at the top of the hour. But the
St. Louis Arts Review.
Very few breaks in the music. And what makes that station unique is that every 2 hours, the DJ changes.
Mm-hmm.
Every 2 hours, the show changes. A couple of drive shows are 3 hours.
Right, so the musical taste change with the DJ.
And the DJs program the music. Mm-hmm. So,
So let's say, for instance, we were on Riverbend Talent tonight, and you were going to be playing music. What would you be playing?
Well, okay, Tuesday morning, whenever I go in, I on KDHX, I choose all the music for those 2 hours, and I play...
What's an example of what you play?
A lot of Pink Floyd, Grateful Dead.
Did you pick up on my Pink Floydism on the Morrisons? When you asked if I'd been there, I said, I don't know, I was really drunk at the time.
I did not, but that was great.
I can't believe that got under the radar.
That is great. I was really drunk at the time.
Side of the Moon.
To be honest, a lot of the Floyd I even do is more like the Umma Gumma albums and the lesser-known Pink Floyd albums, a lot of the old Syd Barrett stuff. I love to do unknown or lesser known. There's one that we play on My Mix 94.3. It's the Chamber Brothers and their song Time.
Are we on 94.3 right now?
No, but that is the sister station here. We're on 107.1 FM and 1570 AM right now, but now we have two stations coming out of this building. There's also 94.3 My Mix that's the hits of the 60s and 70s.
But we aren't part of that at this point.
Well, it's all coming out of the same building, but they call it sister stations.
Is it twice as much pay for twice as much work?
I don't know if there's any I don't
expect you to tell me all about your finances, but the workload, is it in balance?
Between the two stations?
Between you. I mean, if you're going to be broadcast on two stations, shouldn't you come in here and go, hey, I need my pay doubled? Or do they go, look, we're paying you guys double what you're worth right now because we got two of you there and you're not worth half of it?
They give me Arby's coupons, man. No, I don't
know. Oh, no. All right.
I work for free cereal. No. Yeah, the thing about the radio business, it is the bastard child of the entertainment industry. It is a feast or famine business. There are a few guys that make really good money in this business. Howard Stern made millions and millions of dollars. However, most people make minimum wage.
Mm-hmm. You know, read the Ag Report.
Yeah, exactly. So, and it, you know, that's fine. It's part of it is the nature of the beast. But back to your question, what I was saying is on 94.3, they play the Chambers Brothers song Time.
Right.
Time has come today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, time.
They do about a 3-minute version of that. They do the radio edit version. Now, I'll play that same song on KDHX every now and again. I do the 13-minute version, album version, and it is trippy and psychedelic as could be.
And that's what I remember from the old days at KSHE.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if, I guess if you listen to their program on Sunday mornings, you might catch them playing the long version of Time.
Yeah. John Eulidus.
I don't know, but like I said, I don't want to hear all the commercials that they throw out there. It's just fatiguing.
Well, we've all been advertised to for so long that most of us are just over it.
Yeah.
And they have arranged most entertainment these days where you don't have to watch commercials or listen to commercials that often. A lot of people, you know, that's what they do. They go straight to skip the commercial.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Skip this ad.
Skip this ad, man. Yeah. Skip it.
I remember back in the day when on KSHE, they would have commercials that you know that they made there on the spot. An advertiser would come in and say, hey, make us a radio spot for 30, 60 seconds, whatever it was. And they were creative enough to come up with some good commercials. I remember some of them very well and still kind of laugh about it looking back at it.
That was my first gig with them. I interned with Emmis Communications. It was KSHE specifically that hired me, but I started interning with Emmis, and it was Kix 106, Extreme 104.1 and KSHE, and I was a commercial. You'd bring in national commercials and put them in, give them the right numbers. But a lot of it was creating commercials, especially like around Halloween time. Mm-hmm. All the local places that are selling Halloween wares and all the local haunted houses. That was always fun because, you know, you get to bust out the spooky voice or whatever.
Yeah.
Also, tonight, open mic hosted by Everhart and Light.
I forgot about this.
I think you guys forgot.
Who's
about
that guy over there? Yeah. Yeah, where'd that voice come from?
Like three. We got three down, and then we stopped. So, yeah, tonight, open mic hosted by Everhart and Light, Bakers and Hale. Tom O'Connell up at George's Local Brew in Jerseyville. Ethan something. I don't.
Just Ethan.
They didn't put the last name.
Ethan McLovin.
At Deutz Village Inn in Pontoon Beach. And Dave Horton, you've missed about a half hour of his show if you're heading up to Prairie Inn in Dorsey.
You're probably just listening to us on the way up there anyway.
Right, right. But just so in case you were thinking 7, it's a 6 o'clock start there.
I was just
there.
Talking to Dave Horton today, and he's going to come in a little bit down the line and be a guest with us.
Great promoter. He's always on top of his shows.
Yes, he's a...
Never fail. Go to Dave Horton's site, you know where he's going to be.
Okay.
What was the name of his band, though? And now I'm drawing a blank. They were playing for quite some time last year. We kept mentioning their name, and now I'm drawing a blank.
I kind of forget, too. It was one of those big country bands that was out there that was playing a lot.
You might have heard of them, actually.
Can't remember the name.
Because there's not too many country bands. We've talked to you about that before with the Glendale Riders.
But I can't help you on... solving this mystery, the Glendale Riders, I have heard of them.
Glendale Riders, Flatliner, Borderline. There's a few bands we mentioned that are country bands that play quite often. Lady Luck does some country.
Lady Luck does some country, not a lot. Lady Luck is intentionally trying to avoid being a country band, being so that there are members of Glendale Riders that are in that band, so we're trying to keep it separated. But it works out well. I think that the singers in the band are better rock and roll singers anyway. So whatever your music is that you do well, it doesn't necessarily mean that you can do all styles well as well. So, I'm not a screamer. I'm not going to be singing, I don't know, I can't.
AC/DC?
I won't be singing AC/DC.
Not too many people do.
Scorpion!
I won't be singing the Scorpions. I won't be singing AC/DC. I won't be rapping. I can't do any of those styles justice. So if you hear something come out of my mouth that has some music with it, it's going to be a little more tame and melodic.
I remember a high school assembly where a band was playing, and all I remember about it is someone was yelling AC/DC to the band. And the guy's like, I'll do AC/DC when I can slice my throat open on stage. And I was like, do that.
That would make a crazy show. That's Alice Cooper type stuff. Because
I was
there.
A metalhead, man. Yeah. I would have loved to have seen that. Of course, you know, they would have to help him out after that.
But, give him a mop. clean up your mess.
He didn't like our heckling, I guess.
Yeah, some tough people gig, can't take gig. It. Tough gig.
So, okay, where are we on the
we're into Friday
sheet
now.
There.
Friday night.
Hey, man.
It's only Thursday.
Well, you know, I want to. It's good that we're into Friday because, you know, the Lodge at the Lovejoy?
Yeah.
They've been doing like Sunday shows.
Right.
Now they're doing like a Friday, Saturday this weekend.
Oh, wow.
Positive, right? Tate Kelly and Gerard Erker.
All right.
7 to 10 at the Lodge at Lovejoy on Friday night.
I am unfamiliar with Tate or Gerard, but that sounds like could be a good time, and it's definitely an option out there for anybody looking to get out and do something. And if you're wanting to get out and do something, you hear us talking about all these places that are struggling. Man, getting out to them is what's going to change that and help the bands, the venues, and the whole scene.
Borderline at Fast Eddie's on Friday night, starting 6:30. Bob Griffin Duo, 7 p.m. at Bakers and Hale, and Bob Griffin and Flipside have posted their extended schedule. So they are going to get out there and gig it. Right
nice, now. Nice. And Bakers and Hale, man. Well, it's a good place to see a band because the food is amazing down out there.
That's right. The food makes the band sound better.
Well, I like to, it's a good place to see a band and they have
it
good
is.
Food.
I'll tell you what, I like Bakers and Hale for a lot of reasons. One is the food. The food is excellent. I've never had a bad meal at Bakers and Hale. It's so conveniently close to my house that I can't complain for that reason.
It's right around the corner.
And another reason is that they hired the Lady Luck Band, and therefore I like to reciprocate and give them business when I'm coming in there other than just to play music. Yeah. And I've definitely spread the word. They're worth every penny of every penny that I've spent there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I miss the Sunday brunch because they're not doing the brunch right now. And I get it.
People don't want to be bumping elbows when they're up there at a buffet.
Right, I get it, man. But that Sunday brunch, the food was good. And you start with a mimosa, working into a hurricane or two. But by the time lunch rolls around, you're feeling great. That's all I'm saying.
Your belly was full and you were full tilt.
Right. Luckily, it's close enough to stagger back home. It's
that's
fine.
Right. Yeah, just point me in that direction and give me a push.
So
where are we now,
go.
Dennis?
Bash. Two piece.
What day are we on?
Friday, January 8th.
Okay.
Two piece, the number two, P-E-A-C-E.
Right. Okay.
Okay. 7 to 10 at George's Local Brew in Jerseyville.
There you go. George's been having music steadily, too.
Mm-hmm. So usually acoustic.
For them.
Yeah, it's a small place. Yep. I've been on that stage. They had a wheel.
You can play on the roof.
I had a birthday, and I was in there, and I got to spin the wheel, and I won, free hamburger or something like that.
Nice.
I don't remember, but it was fun, and I got to eat again.
And it, like you say, it's kind of a small place, so a lot of acoustic acts. But when the weather was nice, they were putting bands on the roof. And
what? Yeah. Who do they think they are? The Beatles?
Yeah.
It's Abbey Road.
Right?
It's George's Road.
Our sponsor, Matt Van Voorhis of Macias Insurance, took me to lunch there once.
Ah, yeah.
That Matt, he's a heck of a guy.
Mm-hmm. And we couldn't do this without Halpin Music Company, though.
Halpin Music and Matt have kept us, Matt Van Voorhis, they kept us on the air for years now. Mm-hmm. And most people who are flipping across the dial stop for a minute at this and go, what is this? Why? Who let these guys on the air? That's who let us on the air.
Yeah.
Halpin Music and Matt Van Voorhis.
And they're so cool that they'll put up with people coming in going, hey, man, you need to get those guys off the air.
They say, not a chance.
They keep us anyways.
Not a chance. Hey, you know what? I spent countless hours at Halpin Music through my life.
Right. Didn't you work there a little bit?
I didn't work there, no.
Okay.
But I took
guitar. Half your bands did, though.
Half the band has worked there, yes. I took guitar lessons there when I was a teenager. But I quit that because I got tired. Once again, just like Bakers and Hale, I lived dangerously close, so I would walk there, but it wasn't close enough because I got tired of walking through the snow, so I quit and never went back. But I spent a lot of money there, spent a lot of hours there, and made a lot of friends there as well.
Oh, yeah. In the 80s when they opened up the Sound Spot.
Mm-hmm.
That was like the hangout after school for a while. Like, you know, they weren't as cool as like Jody. They wouldn't let you like play with all the instruments. I guess because we were kids, you know. Jody Hopper let you go in and like grab instruments and play it.
Oh, everything
all the time.
That was in there was already scratched up. So
right, and I think you know they might have let the other kids play with instruments. Maybe they had something against me because I was kind of a maniac back then. But
well, there's a difference between playing the instrument and playing with the instrument.
Yeah, that's them playing with.
Yeah.
So there you go. But that was a cool place. They had that whole separate building just for the rock and roll folks for a minute there.
Yep.
But love their new place they got going on out there. They got those still giving lessons all these years later if you want to learn something. And they do this awesome thing you might have heard about called Kids Rock. What's the ages on that?
Like
4 to 7, 5.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's preschool almost.
It's crazy young. They teach the kids to play not only instruments, but play as a band. And then they have a concert at the end of it where all the bands perform.
Yeah.
And a very young age, which is that's
and reasonable that, lessons involved with that, you know.
That's a great thing to get the kids' interest up because nobody plays music that doesn't want to perform. And if you get the chance to learn to play with others, then that just takes the fun factor up.
Oh, yeah. And I personally believe the children are our future. I think we should teach them well and let them lead the way.
Yes.
No, I don't know.
Yes. Where are we at
rest
now,
in peace,
Dennis?
Whitney.
Let's see. I'm still pondering that thought of most people who play music like to perform.
Yeah. I know people who like to play music and hate performing.
Yeah,
they just love to make music.
I'd rather just stay home.
But I do know a lot of people
and
okay,
do it
oh,
in that sense. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, if I have to choose. But, you know, you got a band and they want to play, so I'm not going to be the guy that says, no way, dude, I ain't going to play. You know.
Well, that's one of the beauties of playing an instrument. You don't have to play in a group in order to get satisfaction out of it. I've made the statement before that if you were, let's say, for instance, you loved football. Well, if you don't have a team, you're not going to be playing football But you can play music without the rest of the band.
Yeah.
I do it every day.
In the shower.
You can play in the shower.
A lot of people sing in the shower.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I don't sing much in the shower. How about you guys?
No, I don't sing in the shower. No,
I don't even take showers.
they don't call me.
Do you leave them?
No, I leave them.
Okay, all right. I do sometimes. I'll sing in the shower, but that's usually if I'm just, I know I'm getting cleaned up. I'm going to a gig. I got a certain part that I'm trying to get warmed up to. But for the most part, I'm in there to get in and out.
Yeah. No, see, I don't. I'll hang out under.
As soon as I run out of hot water, I'm out.
I was gonna say I'll hang out under the faucet until the hot water's gone. I love soaking in some hot water or the feeling of hot water.
You
but
got hot water.
You know, sometimes
we do. We comes do. And goes. Yeah, every July.
Mine lasts about 5 minutes.
What I do is I boil a big pot. Get a big pot boiling. I throw it in the tub. And, yeah, it works.
Double Wide Duo Friday night at the Cabin at Judy Creek and Glen Carbon, Hicktown at Deutz Village Inn and Pontoon Beach. That's according to the Hicktown website.
All right.
Kerplunk with special guest Blue Fluid and the Synapsis.
Ah, nice.
7 p.m. at Red Flag.
Good
in
for the
St.
Synapsis.
Louis.
Yeah, good for the Synapsis. Those boys.
That's your Friday.
Those boys aren't even old enough to drive yet. Are
okay.
They? Come on.
All right. I got a question here talking about Friday. This is important stuff.
All right, okay. Here we go.
What is tomorrow? Tomorrow's Friday.
Tomorrow is Friday, January 8th. It is National We're Not Gonna Take It Day. No, that's actually today.
Twisted Sister Day.
I was thinking the Who. We're not gonna
you
take
guys,
it.
You guys are warm. You're getting warmer.
All right, all right.
Twisted Who.
Not Twisted T.
Just
stay on the music. Stay on the music
sisters.
Thing.
I'm trying to get close with the two things we said.
Yeah,
you're getting Twisted. You're dangerously close.
The Twisted Who Sisters.
You're this close. Okay.
I thought.
All right. Let's hear it. We don't have all night. Tomorrow is Elvis's birthday.
That is so close. It was so close.
He would have been 85 years old tomorrow.
Wow. You know.
Yeah. He'd been a. Hunk of burning love at 85.
Yeah, hunk of something.
Probably a gray, wrinkled hunk of burning love.
He spent a little too long badge chasing there at the end. Once, was it Nixon that gave him the badge and said he was a special agent in the drug forces or whatever? Then all of a sudden, Elvis was trying to get his hands on every badge he could there before he died.
I didn't hear this story.
Oh, yeah. He was issued a badge as a drug enforcement guy or something from Nixon.
I don't want any of that out of Elvis. I just want to hear him sing. Maybe have him shake around and you know, get up there and entertain.
And here's the question. When they gave him that drug badge, did they ask him how high he was when he came up with that dance? Because I guarantee.
Oh. Hit a little bit on the bottle.
But yeah, what do you do? Like 33 movies and, geez almighty. Lots of songs, lots of movies. The excellent crooner.
Yes. Dennis,
yes.
Carry on.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
hold
yes.
on. You know, hold on. Here's a fact about Elvis you may not know.
You mean another one?
Sam Phillips owned Sun Studios, right? Where Elvis made it big. Didn't think Elvis was worth a darn. Didn't like him. Didn't want to record him.
I think I have heard this before.
But Sam Phillips' business manager was a female, and they couldn't call her a business manager, so they called her a secretary back then. But she was actually a business manager, loved Elvis, and convinced him to keep recording him. And Sam's like, this guy's no good. And he said in the end, the only reason he was willing to record Elvis was to make enough money so he could still record Howling Wolf and Muddy Waters and all the guys that he wanted to record. So I don't know. I learned that at Sun Studios when I took the...
that's an interesting tidbit.
Hey, anyway.
Okay, Dennis, carry on.
Yeah.
Back to the show.
Well, you know, you've been interviewing Pigpen now for 45 minutes. And I just want to, you know, since you said you're going to interview both of us, give you a little bit about me.
Let's hear it. I'm all ears.
I'm the kind of guy that encourages talented people, like Pigpen, for example.
Yeah.
He was out of radio completely because he dropped out of college.
I didn't drop it. Well, I dropped out for a while.
Yeah, he did. He went on Dead Tour. He's in college. And since he was my dealer, I went to him. Okay, that part's a lie.
Wait a minute.
But no. I just wanted to make...
Fake news.
I wanted to crack him up.
Fake news.
But no.
Oh, man.
So, anyways, I was like, dude, you should finish the radio program. If nothing else, man, you need to do your internship so you can go work at a real station. And he's like, well, I only want to work at like a big station like Casey. You know, I'm like, exactly, dude, since you don't care, just go sign up for going to Casey. Mm-hmm. And they told him when he went and did, there's no way you're going to get this. And he's like, I don't care.
You don't try, you don't get
right.
It.
The teacher of the intern class said, how many interns did you sign up for? I said, one. He goes, where? I said, Casey. He goes, you're done. You'll never get it. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
And you did.
Who knew?
And so when we started Riverbend Talent, he'd been kicked off the radio again.
Hey,
it keeps happening. It just keeps happening.
This is a question that I wanted to ask and, since I was interviewing
you. I
want to
finish the story.
Okay, well, I want to get back to the...
Oh, you want to wait? Okay, I'll wait.
Well, I was going to say, I'll get back to it.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, finish the story.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Okay,
finish
now
your
I'm
story.
Confused.
Go ahead and finish the story. Dennis.
Okay, finish the story. Yep. So he's out of radio, and I was like, hey, I'm going to start this show, you know, Riverbend Talent. And at first he was like, ah, I don't know, man, you know.
This is where I was going with this. I was going to ask, how did this program come about?
Right.
Okay, carry on.
So at first he was like, I don't know, you know, talk radio, whatever. I'm like, dude, you're out of radio, man. It'll get your foot in the door, and down the line somewhere you'll be able to maybe get some hours there and work, and it's in Alton. You know, what's the big deal? He's like, okay, finally, you know, after I bet probably I was on 6 months before I finally got him to come on. And the first show we ever did, we just redid because I interviewed him. And so you can check it all
at
AltonDailyNews.com.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. So anyways, that brings us up to speed.
Okay, well who came up with the name? Riverbend Talent.
I did.
Okay.
And you had, who was your first co-host? What was her name?
Nicole Fiedler.
Nicole, there. Yeah. He had a girl that was on with
I
him
wanted
for a
Pigpen, but he's wishy-washing me. You know? And so I had to
run
find
around.
Somebody. I was trying to get more hours here, which is completely ironic because now he's on the mix and I can't get any hours still. So. But because I said, put your foot in the door.
It's sabotage.
And, you know, once again, just like when we were on Dead Tour and he's like, I don't know, man. I don't want to go back and do an internship. You know, I was like, dude, at least you'll get to work at Casey if they accept you. If they don't, drop out again. Big deal.
And, you know, if Jerry Garcia was still alive today, I'd still be out on tour and never would have worked in radio. Yeah.
Now, you got to interview the dead back in the day, you once told me.
Yeah. It was, I just walked into work one day. I was on 97.1 on the Dave Glover Show, and I walked in, and they said, do you want to interview the Grateful Dead? I said, yeah. They said, get ready. You got 5 minutes. And 5 minutes later, I was sitting there. It was just Bobby Weir, the guitar player, singer, and Bill Krutzman, the drummer, one of the drummers. But, yeah, got to interview him. It was the worst interview ever given. I had no time to prepare.
Right.
I felt like Chris Farley when he interviews people on Saturday Night Live. I just said, kept going, you're awesome.
Yeah.
Remember when you guys were playing with the dead? You guys are awesome.
Yeah, sometimes the great opportunities, but you, like you said, you don't necessarily get to be relaxed. You don't have the prep time or whatever it is. And so that golden opportunity doesn't go down as your best. What about you, Dennis? Do you have any thing special like that in the past?
What? I'm not even sure what you just said.
Have you had any memorable interviews time on your radio shows, whatever you've done that you thought were special for one reason or another? Maybe they were special because it was like the world's best mistake.
I like interviewing Jody just because she's done so much for us.
Yeah. Jody, from Hopper's Music?
Yeah, Jody from Hopper's Music.
All right.
Yeah, and you know, everyone knows that story.
And that's a great Riverbend Talent name.
Especially musicians. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the community may not understand what that means to musicians. And we have yet to have one musician on here that didn't just talk like everyone else does about Jody and how much it meant to have somebody basically set us up with instruments. Mm-hmm. A lot of those guys never went back and made that $5 payment. Now, I regret those guys because she went after a few of them. There's some great stories she tells about.
She had a payment plan?
Literally going into gigs up on stage and taking instruments away from people who didn't pay by herself.
But if you walked in there with $1 and said, Jody, all I have is a dollar. Or if you walked in there and said, Jody, I don't have nothing this week, I'm sorry. She wouldn't do that to you. It's only if you ignored her and ignored her that she would do that kind
of
stuff.
Well, I have a Jody story from my past, too. I went in there, and they had a lot of really nice older guitars on the wall, and I saw this Firebird, Gibson Firebird, and I just drool at it because I remember seeing Johnny Winter playing the Firebird back in the days. I bought it. It was a 1963 Firebird 3. I paid $400 for it.
Wow.
And it was all I could do to scrape up the $400. Yeah. And so I still had that guitar. And that was 84, 85, I think, when I bought it. And so
still
I still
a pretty new place at that time.
Yeah. And I still have the guitar now. I'm careful when I take it out. It's got to be the right environment where it's not going to get stolen or broken. Yeah. But I love to play it when I can really turn it up and let it do what it was meant to do.
Right. When you bought that guitar, did they have the store built onto the back of the house, or was it down in the basement?
It was on the back of the house.
The back of the house, yeah. That was it was right around there, 82-83, when they opened their doors, and it was in the basement at first.
Yeah. This guitar hung right over the basement entrance, because they had like the walkout basement that came into that room, and this guitar hung up there, and I had my choice between that and a 61 SG, and they were both the same price, and I was like,
either one.
Like I said, I didn't have an extra dime to my name back in those days, but I mustered up the money, and I came up and I bought that Firebird. Now, collectors wise, I'd have been better off to have bought in the SG.
The 61 SG, it'd have quite a nice value.
It was a Les Paul SG.
Yeah. The first guitar I bought was an SG copy. It was just an electric custom, and it was right out of their basement there. But yeah, man, that 61 SG would hold a pretty penny about now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I had a chance to buy an Ernie Ball Eddie Van Halen model when they first came out over at St. Charles Guitar Exchange, because Eddie knew those guys over there.
Yeah.
And it was $1,750.
Wow.
And I was like, man, I could probably get that, and thought about it. But at the time, I'm like, that's a little over my head, But
didn't you say you were all about the whammy bar? That would have been the guitar.
Yeah. And, and I wasn't really playing a lot. I didn't practice. I was bad about that. I like to do it for fun, I didn't unless I have an end goal to accomplish, and then you can just kind of mess around with it, I didn't care if I played on stage or nothing like that. But that guitar's worth $10,000 now.
It just shot up in value this past year, I bet.
It was before that.
Even before
that? Yeah, because it was his original signature models that he put out himself.
Ernie Ball was his first company that he went to when he started having his guitars made custom, to his specs and endorsing.
All right, we're running short. I want to get Saturday in.
Jay
Sabo and Greg Heiss, 7 to 10 at the Lodge at the Lovejoy in Alton on Saturday. So doubleheader Friday and Saturday at the Lodge. Naked Soul and Borderline at Fast Eddie's on Saturday. The Doppelganger, they're going to fire it back up at Baker's and Hale, 7 o'clock on Saturday. Justin Cunnell and Joey Taylor, 7 to 10 at George's Local Brew in Jerseyville. The Strangers at Grafton Winery in Hicktown, if that's correct by their website, at Deutsch Village Inn, both Friday and Saturday. Then Sunday, Naked Soul and Hollywood 5 at Fast Eddie's. Dave Capoto Band at, Max Time Out. We do talk about Max Time Out every time I bring that up. We got in trouble for not bringing it. It was a national act, wasn't it?
Atlanta Rhythm Section or something like that, which we should have been bringing
up. I'm sure we casually mentioned it, but we spent all the time on local bands, because everyone knew Atlanta Rhythm Section was going to play.
Who called you out?
I don't know, just a listener. He was just curious why we didn't bring up Max, and, I get it.
And I'll be honest.
I explained to him.
Were you aware of it, though?
We were aware of it, and I think we gave it a casual mention, yeah, but didn't spend a lot of time on it. And the truth is,
it was fireworks or something. You know, like everybody was going to be downtown for that anyways, you know.
But it's not like we were avoiding talking about that gig, because the truth is, I was hoping to get the sound gig at that. I was hoping to be running sound for Atlanta Rhythm Section on that one. Yeah. Sometimes when the bigger bands come around, we don't spend a lot of time on them, because everybody already knows
it's Riverbend talent.
You
it's not national talent.
Now, you know.
Doesn't mean you shouldn't mention it, because it's
Soup Granda different. Steve Scorfina, I mean, you know, because these guys are from this area and grew up in this scene and can tell us, you know, in the 70s it was like this, and they made it out of here. And that's what other musicians, and that's what our big listeners
and
want to hear. You know?
We did mention it because it was an event happening in the Riverbend area. I think he was just wondering why we didn't go
have
on
them
and on.
And all that.
And the truth is, like I say, there's no way I was trying to avoid it. If anything, I was trying to get the sound gig. I'm talking to Matt, going, "Hey man, let me run sound."
I don't even think you had your sound fired up by then, did you? I mean, that was right after we started the show.
Well, that was,
and that's
oh,
why I
was that right? Okay,
make,
that it was the next time the Atlanta Rhythm Section came that I was trying to get the sound gig.
His memory's very foggy for
good
reason.
Years go by.
For good reason. Yeah. For good reason.
So well, I'll tell you what, every time they come to town, that Glendale Riders has opened up for them a couple of times when they've been in that street party that they have.
Now, see, I don't think they had an opening band either. If they would have had an opening band, we would have been.
We probably would have had the opening band on.
Yeah, we'd have had the opening band on.
Yeah. Well,
so plus we were just getting underway. So, I mean, maybe we laxed a little. Who knows? But.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what it is about those guys, but every time I'm around them, I just can't stop drinking beer.
Yeah. I'll say this about Atlanta Rhythm Section. Paul Guder can play the heck out of a bass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He can play a damn bass.
He's not with them anymore, though.
Probably not.
No.
Right.
No. But
Three Pedros, though, they're still together, and they're playing at Grafton Winery
on
Sunday.
Oh,
Midlife. Midlife.
Three Pedros.
Oh, sorry. Midlife, 2 p.m. at the Cabin at Judy Creek and Glen Carbon, and then past guests, who I actually played last week on the show, Hive Mind, is playing on Sunday with Lofty's Comet, Nico, and the Plums, 7 p.m. at the Red Flag in St. Louis. Tickets are $12, and if you can, get them from the band, because they get a little extra, I think, for each ticket they sell.
Yeah, they get a little credit for the tickets, and I'm telling you what, that we're going to get that Lofty's. We've had Hive Mind on. We're going to get Lofty's Comet in here. They are young kids playing some jazzy music, and I like to see that, doing something a little different.
How much time do we have left?
Well, we have
about 4 minutes.
4 minutes.
You know,
have we run through the schedule? Okay.
I finally got it done.
Because I got a couple more things I wanted to talk to you guys about.
Because
I'm interviewing you, remember?
Yeah.
So this is really
What happened to your notes?
Well, they're right there.
I was interested in that.
They're right there. They haven't changed.
And I told you I'm a tough interview, so.
You're probably the hardest I've ever interviewed.
Well, this like Pigman's the easiest and I'm the hardest. I got you.
You can say hi to me and I'll talk for 3 hours.
Okay,
come on, man.
Okay. Tell me your best and your worst experience in radio. And do it in 3 minutes or less, because I got one more thing I'm going to say after that.
Okay. My best experience in radio?
Tonight, other than tonight.
Oh, other than tonight. I already told you that. I guess interviewing.
You mean the last time I was in
well,
here?
I guess interviewing Jody, I guess.
What about the worst?
Okay, that's right.
The worst? I don't even know. It's so easy, it's not even work. You know what I mean? So.
It's a labor of love.
That's why I'd come in and empty the trash. I'm like, they'll pay me $5 and empty trash. All right.
Per can?
Per can.
And then, you know, no one's around. You act like you're on the radio. No one's here. You play with the sound effects, records and stuff.
Yeah.
You know? Because you're always in these hours where no one wants,
this is the pig
wants to come
show.
In. You know, 3 o'clock in the morning. That's the shift you get, you know.
Yeah.
So.
That's a good
But
jam
no one's
around.
Around. It's great.
Yeah. Right.
Every gig I ever had that's midnights, it was fun.
Yeah.
Anytime the bosses were gone, I was ready.
I always used the midnight shift for that as well.
We used to play hockey in a warehouse. I worked in.
Uh-huh.
On the midnight shift?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, now, I think it was afternoons, actually.
Didn't you also have band practice in a Navy ship and hit drums down in the, like,
no,
Cook's
that was that was Paul Graves.
Oh, that was Paul Graves. That's right.
We did jam on the ship. I mean, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, yeah. That was Paul Graves who talked about hiding the drums down in the warehouse or whatever. That's great.
We kept ours in the bakery.
You got a best and worst?
Well,
Pigpen?
You know, we already talked about, I mentioned how I interviewed the Grateful Dead, so I'll give you another real fun one. We had Eric Johnson on one time, guitar virtuoso, and my main job while he was on the air with us was to literally stand there while they interviewed him and hold his guitar, and then once it came time for him to play, hand it to him. But I was lied to. I was told by somebody, and I can't even remember who, that he was really conceited and thought a lot of himself and not a very nice person. However, they were wrong. I grabbed a guitar off the wall that was completely out of tune and not his guitar at all, and live on the air, I just handed it to him just to kind of screw him over a little bit. And he immediately knew it was not his guitar, looked up at me and smiled, tuned it within seconds, and was just playing the heck out of it. Ended up being one of the nicest guys that you'd ever meet. And I mean, he knew that I was jacking with him, but he didn't. And he tuned that guitar so fast and played it so good. Fire, good. You know. That was fun to me. I don't know why. Jacking with people's always fun.
That's good.
Worst. Man, there's lots of worst. But
radio?
Yeah. One of the ones that sticks
and
out
I'm
to me.
And I'm the negative one.
Well, I'm thinking of the mistakes I made.
You're the tough one.
Well, mistakes is like you're
going to
make
I'm thinking of
mistakes.
The mistakes I made. So, like, I guess one of the funniest mistakes I made was my job was watching 5 stations overnight. And at first it was a new system, so I was very into it. But once the bugs were worked out, it was like I was being paid to just sit there. And they'd say, once an hour, walk and check all 5 stations. But during that hour, I'd watch Nick at Night, and I would sit in the talk station, 97.1. And I was sitting there just watching Nick at Night, and all of a sudden Nick at Night went out. And I thought, the board op is doing a horrible job. And I watched this blank TV for like 10 minutes, cursing the board op at Nick at Night, going, how come you don't have Three's Company on? You know, it's 2 a.m. and I'm bored. And about 20 minutes into that, I thought, oh, I'm a board op. I wonder if my station's on. And I looked down, and it had been blank for at least 5 minutes. So I'm cursing a board op at Nick at Night for messing up while I was doing the exact same thing to all my listeners.
That's as bad as it gets, folks.
Well, you know. Yeah. I'm sure I've done worse, but that was one that came to mind.
All right. Okay. We're going to get back to Bakers and Hale. I'm going to do a quick plug for the Lady Luck Band.
Here we go.
Actually, the Lady Luck Trio is going to be at Bakers and Hale on January 30th. It's going to be the Lady Luck Trio. That's me, Katie, and John. And then I have down at Max Time Out. We talked about them a little bit ago. Yep. This is an important one. It's the Jeff Benzman annual birthday jam. March 5th, down at Max Time Out.
Didn't that just happen a minute ago? Like, that happened 2 weeks
it
ago,
did.
Didn't it?
It did.
You got a lot
just
of birthdays.
Just the other day. All right. Are we done?
Is that it? That's
man,
all you got anything else to promote, bro?
Well, not really.
All right. Hey, man, thanks
gigs
for,
are minimal at this point.
You know what? And good luck to all the bands out there and the venues out there. Hopefully we're going to turn it around this year and bring it all back and have twice as much music as we had before. I don't know.
I hope so.
We're going to try.
I was critiquing your interviewing style.
Okay. And
and you've never been to any type of journalism class at all?
No.
Okay.
Is it show?
So what I noticed, Pigpen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't ask yes and no questions.
I saw that.
That is a very important, for a rookie, that's a big mistake. You
ask
a question
yes,
to somebody
boom,
whose response
over.
Is yes, yeah.
Gotcha.
That was good.
That makes sense. Okay.
I was checking you on that. I was hoping you'd ask a question.
What else did I fail or
well,
succeed at?
That was the main thing I was trying to watch. You know, we're on basic interviewing here.
Okay.
You
know? Interviewing 101.
Well, right. I was hoping to get you guys to talk. I want to hear your story when you bring me in here. It's supposed to be about what's going on with Jeff's bands or whatever the case is. I want to hear what you guys do, everything from the past to the future. And I want the listeners out there to hear, because otherwise they're just going to hear you yakking about the same old stuff.
Yeah.
Let's talk about something different.
It was a great way to start the new year.
So here's a yes or no question. Did you enjoy tonight?
That's not a yes or no question to me. I'm going to tell you. The first thought on this subject is, I could go on for an hour about that. What do you mean? I had a great time. Thanks so much for coming down. When you first suggested this toward the end of last year, my thought was that would be a good way to start the next year, is to start with you interviewing us. And
yeah. Well, I think that's that was also something I thought was a good idea, too, to start the year out and use it as a kickoff. So let's hope the rest of the year does at least as good as tonight.
If not, we'll be calling you back. You know, Dennis is already like texting you going, hey, look, I'm looking for a new co-host.
No, I
we're
don't.
So sick of
I don't even have a cell phone. Don't even put it out there that I text people. You know, I'm proud to not own a cell phone.
I'm proud to not be on Facebook.
Yes, I'm proud of you for not being on Facebook.
Yes. I'm proud to watch hours of porn. Oh, wait a minute. What are we talking? Are we just talking about the things we're not proud of? I forget what's going on here.
Not proud of. Not proud of.
There's a lot that I'm not proud of. Way too many things to list when we're 5 minutes over. Clark Howard and his financial advisor.
We are?
I don't know if he's still on the show.
4 minutes. It's only four.
Well, we're about to hit him. I think we missed the news and all that. Perfect. Runs right before that.
So. You know what? I'm going to give you the news. Things are weird out there. Yeah. That's the news. And there's your facts.
All right. See, I'm still waiting for the good news. That's the station I want to watch. Good news.
Good news is
no violence, not, no.
It's not out there.
You know, Aunt Mimi this morning got up and baked a pie for all the kids.
You know what? Hey, there's a market for that.
I think so.
You should start it.
Yeah.
You could call it the Pig Bash.
I would have stole that thing that Bill Hicks said would be cool to hear on the news, but I'm not as good as doing it as him, so I'm not going to blow it. So, but it starts out with a man on LSD today discovered. And you look up the rest, folks.
Discovered we are all one, and that life is beautiful, and there's nothing bad about what happened. That's not
exactly quite what he says.
It's close.
Way better. That's why I'm saying I wasn't going to do it. But you know, Pigpen, he's going to steal the light. He's going to come crashing in, and tell you how great he is, and all.
I'm the greatest. I am the best ever.
Messing
it all up.
He doesn't brag. He just talks a lot.
Yeah, that's for sure. I've been told I talk a lot, and I've been told I talk loud. So
which is exactly why I see the talent, I recognize the talent, I recognize I have no talent. So I'm like, hey, I got this job. You want it? You ought to come in. You're good at this stuff. I can't get nowhere with it. So. And same with my studio. That's why it was bought, because the band's like, man, it'd be cool to have a studio. So I bought it and never learned how to use it.
Just let them guys play
with
it.
I let them guys use it,
I don't like messing with all that stuff, and I'm not a tech head.
I don't mind messing with it. It was just watching, and this is what I told Pigpen. The whole reason I do this show is because the way people light up after they come in here and get to sit in front of a microphone and talk about their band, they walk out here giggling and laughing every single time, and no matter what's going on in life, man, you know you're doing the right thing for them people, and that's what I'm doing.
Well, there
for,
you go. That's your good news program there.
You know what? And it is a lot of fun to have people that you've never met before walk in a room, you talk for an hour, and it is just laughing and giggling, making fun of them, making fun of us, making fun of everything, you know. But watching strangers giggle, watching people you know is always fun, but watching anybody laugh is,
at some point, we are going to release the pre-interviews of everything we did, where Pigpen literally does things to loosen up the gas. Prior to, which would not be accepted in today's world.
I was going to say, this might be censored.
Yes. But
you couldn't look at it with no sound on. That's how censored it should be.
I'm surprised that nobody has punched me square in the mouth the way that I greet some of our guests.
Yeah.
Just because I like to let them know right off the bat, this is not serious. Mm-hmm. This is as goofy as it gets, and I might say some unusual things in the process.
Not a talent I have. That's why I got him.
There you go.
Plus, if they get mad, it's him.
It's me. It's all me.
And
I'm
his
the
name
guy.
Used to be Scrap.
He's your buffer no matter what the subject matter is.
He used to be able to fight. That's why they called him Scrap. For a little guy.
Used to.
So he'll be ready. They come after him. Look at the wrestling. Look at the wrestling tape.
Oh, no.
Ask the judge. He threw the judge out on his face.
No.
From World Powerhouse Wrestling.
That
wasn't fake. No, it's not fake. You do not tell wrestlers that's fake, buddy. You know that. That's why you guys rolled out.
That was fake blood.
It was fake. Wonderful.
Broken fingers. It was fake everything.
Check out the video at cottonmouth.org, right?
I'm okay. So sorry, Chip. I really did not mean that.
Chip loved it, man. He just, seriously, those guys are so talented. People do not understand how talented wrestlers are.
Oh, I understand. It is not easy to fake it. Sometimes you try to fake it and it turns real.
They're not faking it. That's exactly what they tell us.
I know.
They are stuntmen. Right?
They are.
They're literally jumping off those ropes and landing the way they are. There's no faking that.
I think that's a good description.
Yeah. They are straight up stuntmen who can act.
I'll tell you.
A lot of them can act.
The one that really blew me away. Who's the Savage? Dan the Beast. Is that Dan the Beast?
Dan the Beast Severn.
Severn, there it is. I said Savage. Dan Savage is a whole
thing. That's a real wrestler though.
That guy.
He's an Olympic wrestler.
He's a
UFC guy.
UFC champion. And he said out of the real wrestling and the UFC and the entertainment wrestling, that the entertainment wrestling takes the most physical agility.
Yeah.
Because you're faking. You're trying to hurt someone, but not hurt them too bad, basically.
Yeah, everything's an intentional move.
Oh, yeah. And then, man, I tell you what, those guys are real athletes, so.
Yeah. And, you know, they know, man, to sell it, it's got to be real.
Are there any local wrestlers?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. The World Powerhouse Wrestlers are one of them.
Oh, are they?
There's a couple.
Have you ever have them in the?
There's a Cottage Hills.
We've had them in several times. That's what he's talking about. One of them, me and one of the wrestlers.
I'm sorry, I'm not aware of that. I'm getting caught up here.
If you go to the cottonmouth.org YouTube channel, it has all of, like, right now we're being videoed here. There's cameras in front of us, and this will be up on YouTube. And we did that when the wrestlers came in, and me and the judge got into it, I guess. We had a little wrestling match right here that sort of ended in a bloody mess. It was not good.
Now, like all matches, we went over just prior to walking in the door that we were going to pull some stunt at the end.
Yes.
That would be physical.
Yes, we said it was going to
happen. We didn't really know. All we knew is between the judge and Pigpen. And this is how they really do it.
Okay.
And, you know, the difference being the promoter says, tonight you win. Now, a lot of guys don't give in to that win that night. There might be a beef between them that he's like, I'm not letting it happen.
Uh-huh.
And a great story is when Hulk Hogan won the world championship, prior to him being a world champion, Bob Backlund was the world champion, who was a real wrestler. And he told the boss, I am not losing to Hulk Hogan. And so they got the Iron Sheik, who was a real wrestler from Iran, to beat Bob Backlund, and Bob gave him the belt, no problem, because he's a real wrestler, so they could end up setting up what turned out to be probably the biggest match in the history of the WWF, because think about it, man, we had hostages
in Iran. Yeah, it was crazy.
And no one was more of a bad guy than the Sheik, and no one was more of a good guy than Hulk Hogan. So, and that everyone remembers that.
Oh, yeah.
And
every morning when I get up to psych myself into the day.
And Bob Backlund.
Every morning I YouTube Hulk Hogan's video, Real American Hero, and it really psychs me up and gets me into my day.
How old is Hulk Hogan these days?
He's got to be younger than Ozzy.
Younger than Ozzy.
So we know that.
Younger than Elvis. He's not as dead as Elvis. Right.
Somewhere between there.
All the little Hulkamaniacs are going wild. Eat your vitamins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, we had, you know, so St. Louis is a big wrestling town.
Yeah,
we had wrestling at the Chase.
Right.
Happening right over in
St.
Louis.
That was my televised.
Cowboy Bob Orton and
that was
his
my
entire
wrestling
family.
Outlet.
Right. His dad was a big wrestler. Cowboy Bob was a big wrestler. Mm-hmm. And now his son, Randy, is one of the biggest. And he's a movie star and everything. So right out of this town. Yeah, St.
Well,
Louis
great.
Is a little hub for that. Anyways, we went way over on purpose in our extended special edition.
67 years old is how old Hulk Hogan is.
First show of the New Year's.
He's still wet behind the ears.
He is. He could still wrestle. 67.
Let's bring him in.
I remember superstar Billy Graham climbing in the ring with crutches. He couldn't even hardly walk.
I saw Meatloaf on Saturday Night Live in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
He had a broken leg. He had some sort of a stage accident, and he got up on and did his performance on Saturday Night Live in a wheelchair, and he was wheeling that thing all around there and getting up in the camera's face, and he was still very entertaining. And that was back in the Bad Out of Hell days.
What a great album that was. I mean, that had a lot of good stories on that album. He put a lot of good stuff out.
Did he pass away last year, too?
Who was
I
it?
Hope not. I didn't
Meatloaf.
Hear that.
Yeah, Meatloaf. No, I don't think so.
I didn't hear about it. No. If he did, so.
Oh, okay, well, that's good.
Yeah. He didn't show up for Christmas dinner,
they
though,
didn't
so.
Put Corona down on Eddie Van Halen's death certificate, did they?
What's that?
Did they put Corona down on Eddie Van Halen's death certificate?
Probably. All the hospitals get an extra paycheck if they mark that. Yeah.
And if it's a star, they get more, I think.
Right. I heard...
no, it's cancer is what I heard, for real.
Yeah, but I mean, but that doesn't mean that somebody didn't go in there and sneak that in. I've heard of some other... well-known people who have intentionally made note to tell them, make sure that they don't put down that I died from Corona.
Yeah, because the hospitals get a little extra paycheck for every Corona box they check.
Except for, silly. This is a very money-driven disease. Oh, yeah,
it's goofy. It's goofy as could be.
Yeah,
except for my Uncle B.S.
Your Uncle B.S.?
Uncle B.S.
Yeah. My Uncle B.S. said, you can put down that I died from Corona, but make sure you tell them I had 22 cases of it before I died, and that's what put me in my...
Because
he was proud of his Corona drinking.
I can't stand Corona.
Remember that when Corona was just a bad beer?
Okay, so here's a fact you might not know, but
I don't like Mexican beers. I think they all smell skunky and taste good.
Every Monday, our county has a Corona meeting with like leaders of the county, people up in Edwardsville or whatever, and this meeting is held by Mr. Corona. Literally, the guy's name is Jim Corona, or his last name is Corona, and he holds the COVID meetings every Monday for the county, people on the board and whatnot.
Right.
So, there you go.
Nice.
More useless information.
It was just to
I'll get some mileage out of it somehow.
Well, we had to extend this into the special edition version of Riverbend Talent.
It is.
To start the new year, brought to you by Halpin Music Company and by Mr. Matt Van Boris, also known as...
Matt
Stubblefield Van Boris, because we can't call him Matt Stubblefield because Matt Tall's in the band, so maybe we could call him Boris Stubblefield.
M. Tall and M. Van Boris. I don't know.
V. Stubblefield. No, that sounds too much.
Still sounds
like
a T.
Yeah, Matt V. is what we've always come out. I've called him since back in high school.
No, we got to get rid of that.
We
got to start.
Now wait a minute.
It's a new year.
Matt V.
Now I got a question.
Stubble Boris.
In the future or in the past, has Matt been in here for an interview?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He was at my house New Year's Day.
What?
Yeah.
How come nobody invited me?
Well, you know, sometimes I don't get invited.
Nobody meaning you.
He was sometimes I don't get invited to jam with you, Jeff. I'm not going to bring that up on air, though.
Matt V. was at my house last February 14th on Valentine's Day for the same reason he was in your house on New Year's Day. We don't need to say anymore, though.
He's into some weirdness. Let's
he's
just
into
say
weirdness.
That. Yeah, well, that's his job. He comes when all the weirdness happens
once again, like we
and
were
bails
saying,
you out
fits,
because
right?
He's like, yeah, good thing I sold you that insurance.
Yeah.
You know, I know I had to get you drunk first, but I mean, we signed the paper. Right.
All right. Thanks again to Matt Van Voorhis of Macias Insurance, and big thanks to Halpin Music Company, who have been sponsors for so many years. Also,
all right, we're really going to end it this time.
We're really going to end it, and
I want to thank my guests, Pigpen and Dennis, for coming in tonight. I'm your host, Jeff Bensman, signing off from Riverbend Talent, WBGZ.
Wait,
you got one more thing, Dennis?
Yeah, you always end it with, what do we tell everybody for homework? And that is, get out and support local
music
and art. There we go.
Now we can end it.
Okay, I didn't have a cheat sheet for that. You guys failed.
Well, that's why I trained you as we went, so folks can see.
You can go ahead and do it. We'll give you a second try.
Okay, on the job training.
Yep, on the job training.
You want to do it one more time?
Try it again.
On your own?
No, I better ask.
He's nervous.
I'm going to say it. Everybody, get out and support local music and art.
And fart. I mean, art.